Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
It's great to be back here on the Hashtag Finance Master show. We are currently having a series on the modern finance function, taking stock on where are we today after what I call two decades of transformation, seeing how far we've come with everything from automation to strategic value creation. And of course, I'm taking you on that journey too. Let's get into it. From recording transactions to closing the books, reporting numbers, and analyzing the results, we're assessing what the typical month looks like in the modern finance function. The modern finance function is barely recognizable from its most recent iterations and has undergone big transformations to get where it is today. This has reshaped our rhythm and our responsibilities, expanded the scope of our roles, and given us new tools and trends to use. So how has this affected our monthly cycle of activities? And how do we keep evolving the use of modern tools and techniques as the landscape constantly redefines itself? Let's try to have a look. The first one is around recording transactions. It's continuous and automated. You could say that this process has gone from daily grind to the supremacy of flexibility and mobility as new software and technologies has come to the fore. The old desk-bound nature of the task of recording transactions has gone mobile, whether by software applications or by the decision to outsource, and has completely revolutionized the process. It's to the point where, at least in many parts of the world today, I would say, how can you even get a simple bookkeeping job anymore? How can you do relevant accounting tasks? How can you get that experience? It's not as easy to come by as it used to. There are, of course, other parts of the world where you do this a lot. And of course, it may be more and more automated, but there are still a lot of roles here. And we're also seeing that accountants as a profession, while doom and gloom has predicted that they will be automated for years, it's in high demand in, for instance, the US market. And actually, there's going to be a talent shortage in the coming years as large generations retire and smaller generations come into the workforce. But it means that field staff can record transactions on the go, which is convenient for colleagues, but also efficient for line management. And while real-time data entry has raised some questions about data security and a need to train staff on new technologies, the efficiency gains and cost savings far outweighed any risk for the modern finance function. And I think the most simple example of this is travel expense management or expense management in general. Pretty much any finance function today has a mobile app in which you can record transactions from credit cards, be it corporate or personal, and at the same time, upload your receipts, record the needed dimensions for automatic expense capture. Now, this is not new. Some finance functions may not have it yet, at least not in the form that you want. But I was part of doing this more than 10 years ago for a smaller finance team. So 100% part of the modern finance function. Closing the books, an exercise in precision and quality. The traditional marathon of the month end has evolved in the modern finance function, along with the rise of real-time accounting. While real-time accounting data has the obvious benefit of up-to-the-minute financial information, it has also posed the challenge of needing continuous management of that data. However, there are tools out there that have helped streamline real-time accounting capabilities and adept at providing a constantly updated view of financials. Added to this, automated reconciliation tools, and here I'm thinking of tools like Oracle's NetSuite and others, of course, how they've helped make the closing cycles much more efficient and far less prone to manual errors, which allow management to have confidence in the quality of the financial reporting and the board to be empowered to make fast, accurate decisions with that data. Of course, it depends on how big your company is, but even the largest blue chip companies are probably closing the books in 6 days or less. Of course, it also depends on if it's been a priority for you. However, I have at least been part of, albeit in a subsidiary, so not in a consolidated company, doing the one-day close. So on workday one, next month, close the books. Out goes a flash report into common reporting done, and we can move on. With continuous accounting, of course, you can close the books whenever you want. I don't think the modern finance function is necessarily there yet, but closing the books shouldn't really be a multi-week activity anymore. I don't know if you agree with that, you see it differently, or maybe you have some insights, experiences to share from your finance function. Feel free to raise hands and come up on stage. We've gotten Roland up here. Roland, frequent guest on the show. Feel free to share your perspectives on this.
I really do think this is an obvious trend. I was looking at a system, you know, that's based out of India, and there's a lot of good, you know, kind of like the monotonous work that's done, very good out of outsourcing. But at the same time, I think the second part of it, I was going to go with, they had a system called Tally, and I was going to use a front-end system called DataRails. I even talked to Marie about it. And I see these systems too, one, fragmented. I like the idea of what you're speaking about in the sense of the continuity, the efficiency, the daily transactions that are just very monotonous and normal. But there's also a point where, you know, to your point, you know, accountants are still, you know, in demand here in the US. I truly believe that. I went with NetSuite. So I'm actually starting a complete transformation for the company I'm advising for here in the US. And what we're doing is we're automating a lot, number one, which is, you know, the point of AI and the point of your ideas here and your sessions. But the fact of the matter is, I think AI is not completely there yet. So I still think we need people to analyze the data more extensively, because there's always these parameters that we can set, but there's always things that occur outside of those parameters. So how do we analyze that? How do we break down that data? And how do we inform to find that, you know, efficiency in whatever department that we're analyzing? So, I mean, I think AI is absolutely great. I've been really searching and working with others to like find the right tools for this company. They vary. But once again, I still think we need to, instead of the old days where we were, you know, 80% manipulating the data and, you know, 10 to 20%, you know, analyzing it and giving good feedback to the company, I think that is ultimately, which was always my goal in even the, you know, the antiquated ways, is to reverse that, where we're doing more of the analyzing and truly finding those ways that ultimately get inputted into AI. I still think we're going to have that transformational period where it's, you know, let's say another 5 years, you know, of data and showing that when we analyze certain things outside of parameters that AI has, we can continually improve that process overall.
100% agree with that, Roland. I think we're definitely moving in that direction, but few finance functions are there yet, if any, at least if we're talking about, let's say, all the analysis being fully done by AI. I don't know if we will ever get there, at least in a time frame that's realistic for us to think about. But the direction is there. But same time, you know, when we ask finance teams how they're spending their time today, they're still spending 2/3 of that time on data reporting analysis, right? So really that manipulation of the numbers to get it to a state where we can actually use it for something. So, and that number hasn't changed in the past 5-7 years, at least by my count. So it's maybe going slower than what we have thought, but it's kind of one of those things where there's likely going to be an inflection point, and then it's going to really move really fast once we get past it.
Yeah. In addition, one last point, if you don't mind. In addition, we're also in the finance community, accounting community, we're also translating that data into a digestible form for possibly executives or managers in different departments, because marketing and operations is absolutely critical in an organization. And how do you translate those numbers and have them digest, hey, this is where we're going? So it's that cross-functional training so that other people understand what you do, and at the same time, the finance and accounting community understand what they do in their function.
100%. Agree, Roland, on that. Tina, also welcome to you again. Good to see you here. Feel free to unmute and share your perspectives.
Hi, Anders. Thank you. I'm so happy to share the stage with you and Roland as well. I think we heard a very great perspective from his side. Basically, I'm going to speak a little bit from a banking perspective, which, you know, it's a way more antiquated, has more antiquated processes and more manual work than private sector and new modern firms. So, yeah, I'm feeling this lag in everything. Okay, maybe like Anders said at the beginning, the one thing that is not lagging is this closing of accounts. Okay, it's not 6 days anymore. It's a 1 day close, 2 day close. So here it's a really more this gap of closing. It's like I see it is okay. I'm very happy with it. What I'm not happy with is that when it comes to analyzing the data, for example, me as a data analyst, I still feel the need to look into the data a little bit more closely, to look into the data, to open some invoices and see if the data makes sense how to explain the variances in perspective of the thing that I know about the market and the trend. So, and like Roland said, also one interesting thing is that you really need to make the data analysis very, very easy to understand to the higher management. So you need to put a lot of effort even to automated dashboard or report. You need to present it even more simple. So yeah, in that regard, in reporting, I also don't see how this gap will close. Maybe the reporting will come easier, the data will be easier, but I still think that we as the analysts, we would need to fact check it so it makes sense to us. Because as you know, even translating the data into categories, some things can be mixed up. And I believe that this analysis part is not going to be like so automated. You'll still need a person to check it. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing those, Tina. And you know, it's kind of like don't automate a broken process, right? So I think at least until we found a way as humans to get this right, we can definitely automate it. Is there a possibility for AI to become so advanced that it can just leap jump, so to speak, our own deficiencies, perhaps? But as I also said to Roland, I don't think we are there in any near future. So definitely we still need to be there to analyze the numbers. Thanks, Tina. Thanks, Roland, so far for sharing your perspectives. So the third process we kind of wanted to touch upon is on the reporting itself. We already debated a little bit, but here's like reporting numbers with speed and insights. So reporting is really where the rubber meets the road, and we see it as a crucial phase where the compilation of data leads to presentations to the board or different business leaders and management, like Roland also mentioned. We're fortunate that in the modern finance function, the tools we have on offer far exceed anything from the recent past. And these empower our financial professionals to create their own reports with do-it-yourself dashboards and analysis. This gives teams autonomy in their report creation and accelerates the process, because providing deeper insights is clear and becomes the priority rather than a nice to have. But this is also where data integrity cannot be overstated. And I'd add, we should also be careful of what I've termed the dashboard explosion, right? So we've democratized data and we've given people tools like Power BI or whatever it might be to create dashboards and to analyze stuff. And in bigger companies, you might see 1,000 dashboards suddenly being created, so that every single person has a few dashboards of their own. And they have a slightly variance in terms of how they look at the numbers versus their colleague and people in other teams, even though they're looking at kind of like the same data set. I'm not sure if that's helpful or productive for how we want to steer and run companies, but I think it's just a step on the way to say, hey, we've never had a democratized data situation before. So we're trying to find our ways and how do we manage that as a company. And simply letting everyone play around with it is necessary to get to a point where we say, okay, this is how we actually want people to use data in our organization. And once that is then formalized and a proper governance process is put into place, we can then actually start to slim down on the dashboards. And from there, things will definitely become a lot easier. So just beware when you give people access to all the data, that we don't see this dashboard explosion. The final process we wanted to cover is on the analysis part. Again, we discussed it a bit with Roland and Tina. So here we're saying collaboration with an end-to-end view. There's a strong argument to be made that the modern finance function is about providing accurate insights for actionable decisions. We've talked extensively about the importance of data quality and data management. So let's work from the premise that the foundation is a good one, should be in the modern finance function. Today, we have tools through ERP providers with integrated artificial intelligence and machine learning to maximize and highlight the most important data points. And that's probably the process that you are going through now, Roland, for instance, and maybe finding that, yes, they say they have AI, but maybe it's not to the point where we think it's fully usable yet. These technologies have facilitated the move towards real-time predictive analytics and have enabled the finance function to be more forward-looking and play a far more strategic role in the decision-making direction of the company. By leveraging historical data, finance teams are able to forecast trends and provide more forward-looking insights, aiding in strategic decision-making. So from recording transactions to facilitating and aiding in strategic decision-making, that's the daily life in the modern finance function. And a lot of this is automated. Some we still need humans for, and at least if you ask me, that's the most exciting work. If you have thoughts, perspectives to add, again, feel free to come on stage. You can join Roland and Tina up here, share perspectives, ask questions. The floor is open to anyone.
Okay, I will say final words from my side. I think that I covered the last part of what was said. So basically, yes, I agree that data quality will remain something to be considered in the future, and AI is not there yet. That this is for sure, but I think it's improving. And if we can contact or ask AI for data such as medical data, maybe of course it will be able to answer some of the financial data as well, even maybe better in 5 years or three. I don't know, the progress of technology is really intimidating a bit. So AI will definitely bridge this explosion of dashboards. And yes, I'm just really curious to see where this will, how this development will follow. Thank you.
For sure. We also now have Marie on stage. Marie is also a long time on the show. Marie, feel free to unmute, share perspectives. Maybe you even have an answer for Tina, at least how you see it. So let's hear.
Yeah, I just think when we kind of using, you know, just the term AI, you know, it's a big field. And I think that we sometimes kind of miss the point that, you know, there's things within the AI field, like, you know, you've mentioned like machine learning, but, you know, the robotic process automation, there is things that we can do. So I think, you know, it is being kind of bandied about as a general term, but I think once we get down to the different branches of AI, and I think that's where, you know, finance, from a finance point of view, we need to start to explore the different branches. I don't know what you think about that, Anders.
No, 100%, Marie. I think it's kind of like a build up process, right? I mean, we probably started with RPA, robotics process automation. And then modern finance teams are definitely building machine learning capabilities on top of that, but using kind of like true AI yet for making decisions. I mean, we're not there. So will we be there sometime in the future? Probably so, but it's definitely a build-up process. I don't know, Roland, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to kind of reiterate what you just said, and that was kind of my point, is that it's still a learning process. And even then, I don't think AI will ever have every possible scenario to think like we do in the field that we're experts in, whether it's within finance and accounting or other sectors. So going back to a little bit of your point, you know, how you have all these dashboards, that's actually great at the micro level within your department or functional area. But ultimately, we need to understand what is efficient and cost effective and going to improve the process for the company as a whole. Because if everybody's in their expertise and their functional areas, improving that area, the overall company will have that advantage. But I think as a point, you know, that you made also, the analytics is the fun part. It really is. And that's where I think the efficiencies will grow and the productivity will grow. And you will become a more profitable company and a more efficient company when you learn that. But I also think that I don't disagree with you, because everybody's going to want to, you know, display their 8 dashboards or 10 dashboards possibly, you know, in their functional area. But I think for, you know, to the point Tina made and a lot of people have made, you've got to like have it digestible for all areas of the company. So once again, this is where I go back to a lot of that cross-functional training, in the sense that we understand what other people do in their functional areas, not to become an expert in marketing or operations or what have you, but we become knowledgeable of why they do what they do. And in finance, I think that's critical. You know, there's operational finance. And, you know, when we look at marketing plans, we say, okay, is the return on investment going to be valuable for this company? Is it worth spending $3 million? You know, all these things, if we learn just enough about other functional areas, the analytics will become better in our area of expertise. So I don't want to deny the dashboard, but also we also don't need to bring them into the mix so that the company has 80 dashboards, you know, to your point. And I think that's a valuable point. But in the area of expertise, they may be able to analyze data more efficiently and more effectively than we do, because that is their expertise. So once again, we want to create that ingenuity, that those changes that are going to make the company more profitable, more efficient, et cetera, et cetera. But at the same time, at the macro level, we need to take the valuable points of what's going to move that company forward and bring that ingenuity in as well.
I think that's a great point, Roland, because I think exactly what humans can do is if we're good and we understand what we're doing in our company anyway, is to kind of separate what's important from what's not, right? I don't think AI will be able to do that, at least not in the short term. So we can put it to analyze the numbers, and it will highlight the variances, and it might even be able to highlight some reasons for why we have these variances. But us being able to distill from that, okay, what's key to bring into the management discussion, I think that's where the real difference is, right? Because then as a management team, be it for a functional area or for a business unit or for the whole company, we can use our time much more productively and discuss real actions rather than trying to understand what the numbers tell us, right? So I think that's definitely where AI can and some of these tools can help us, especially in the short term. So just trying to finish up today, you know, it's kind of like we talked about the month end today, right? And there's going to be a continuous evolution of the month end process. So the great thing about technological change is that we, at least as the human operators of the system, have an outsized say in its adoption and usage. From what we've seen as business partners in industry, and our perception is that any tools for automation, reconciliation, or data visualization, et cetera, once teams have been given the confidence to use them, become outsized contributors to the process efficiencies and a more strategic view of performance. Having said that, as tasks become more integrated, finance professionals are required to be more versatile, tech savvy, but also, and particularly probably, strategic in their approach. This is also expected, which adds pressure. And I think that pressure is being felt by many finance teams today, outside from business leaders, inside from the CFO, no less. The modern finance function is a more dynamic and evolving landscape, one that demands continuous learning and adaptation. But it is also the nerve center of the organization and a great place to be setting the trends and direction of where we want to go. So what are your thoughts about monthly reporting cycles? Of course, it's not everything that goes on in the daily life of a modern finance function. We just use this as an example of what the daily life looks like. Tell us how you've adapted the demands of the modern finance function. So we'll open up the Q&A here. Of course, Roland, Marie, Tina, feel free to add as well. If someone else wants to come up again, share thoughts, we will then do the final Q&A.
I'll just add one quick thing with respect to what you just said, Andres. I mean, I think depending on the systems that you have, financial systems, which is one of the things I've done a lot in my M&A work, but it's also really truly investigating, you know, what system is going to function best for the organization, you know, from an accounting perspective, from a financial reporting perspective. And then, you know, I've talked to Marie about a couple of things like Data Rails, kind of a front-end reporting dashboard that is very, very comprehensive. I ended up going with NetSuite, which I think has the basics for the size of the company that I'm dealing with right now. But overall, I think you really have to investigate the financial systems out there. Oracle has some good systems. You know, QuickBooks is okay for, you know, some of the smaller, you know, transactional type entities that are not overly complex. You know, and then you have, you know, the SAP for the, you know, the big, you know, the powerhouses, you know, that have different modules and different areas. So I think as a financial leader, you truly have to really investigate what system is going to fit best for you, but at the same time, give you the data and reporting that you're going to need to, you know, take that company to the next level, ultimately.
And I think just adding to that point, Ron, before we close down, I think a lot of the systems actually can lead the way for you because, you know, they are experts in designing these systems, fitting specific customer requirements, in this case, could be the finance function. So they've actually developed a lot of capabilities that you might be wondering, is it possible or is it not? But, and I wrote an article together with SAP last year where we explored this exact topic and said, you know, instead of imagining out of the possible with 100 different consultants, just go to your tool providers and say, okay, you know, what's actually possible today? And they will show you those benefits and those features that they've already made available. Whether they then actually fit to your exact need is, of course, a different story. And that's why, like you say, Roland, you got to investigate the market there. But a lot of what's possible today is already built into many of the tools and systems that are out there.
I agree. The customization part is absolutely one of the reasons why I went with NetSuite, number one. Number two is that they've actually worked with different sectors. So they kind of let you know, hey, this has kind of worked, or this is what we did with this company that might be a little bit bigger than you, but in the same sector, you know, they have different industry type of experience. And me as a CFO, I've worked in different industries and I've kind of seen what works and what doesn't work. And especially with the larger M&A transactions that I've been a part of in different industries, once again, you see kind of what works and what doesn't work. And that's the knowledge that, to your point, you know, that you can really lean on some of these, you know, organizations like NetSuite, like Oracle, like SAP. Oracle and NetSuite are same, obviously, but, you know, SAP and Oracles of the world, you can lean on them for that type of different perspective. And I think that's what adds a tremendous amount of value when you set up a system. This financial systems is ultimately going to be running your organization.
100% agree with that, Roland. And let those be the famous last words, so to speak. We'll be back next week with same time, same place, with another episode of the Hashtag Finance Masters show. We'll talk about benchmarking the finance function. Thanks, Roland. Thanks, Marie. Thanks, Tina, as well, for being up here, sharing your perspectives. I always appreciate you guys coming up here. You make the show come alive rather than me just sitting here talking about my blog post. So thanks a lot for that. And remember, you can always catch me here on LinkedIn in case you have something to discuss. Then feel free to reach out. But until then, I'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?